That is the Muppets.
Why'd you turn it off?
It's done. We got the SEC to worry about with music.
Oh yeah, the Swedish Chef.
Yes. I was always a Gonzo guy myself.
Janice is the hottest one on the Muppets, man. I tell you, I say this to the day I die. Janice would be a lot of fun for one night, man. You cruise around with Janice, I tell you, you could get into some things you probably never thought you'd get into before.
Sometimes you got to worry when Janice, you know, shows up. We all have a friend that's got a Janice in him, like the Friends reference, you know?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, uh-oh. I have a question. Have you ever had a friend that when a song, I'm sorry, when like a song comes on.
You opened
a
wound, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. Somebody like tries to sing. You ever had that happen to you?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like a group of people where everyone's like kind of just like, uh-huh. And then there's that one person that's trying to hit that note.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm just asking. You've been around it, haven't you? There's that one person in the back. Everyone's kind of jamming out to whatever. And then there's that one person like, yeah.
Oh, we're halfway there.
No, that would be not serious. I'm talking about people that think they're in like front row of choir.
Yeah, yeah.
That you might think they're trying to hold residency in Vegas somewhere. Yeah. And it's like, you don't do that. None of us do. We're singing the Thong Song by Cisco.
You know, I always say, who sings that? And they say, then let them sing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, all my friends are really good singers, so I just don't sing
okay.
around.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're like...
All your friends are really good singers.
All my friends here.
Singers.
All my friends here, yeah, they do theater, yeah. Okay. They went to school for musical theater, yeah. They're all really, really
like
talented.
Your friends driving to their like friend's house is like the opening scene in Step Brothers.
Yes.
All right, I got to bring this one back. My name is Zay. Yeah,
I think this is just such a humble brag. All of my friends are really good singers.
It was more like me. Yeah. It was more of a self.
Yeah, deprecating moment.
Self-deprecation.
Yeah, like, all my friends are really good.
They're all
so I just stay silent.
Like, all right, Mac, your turn. He's like, dude, I got the drums.
That's been the way it's been forever. Yeah.
That's okay.
And I don't have any talented friends. We can't do anything good.
But, you know. When you go play basketball with those friends, I bet they're not as good.
Oh,
as
yeah,
you.
I torch them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun.
Kids. Yeah.
Put down your sing pipe and smoke it, Daryl.
Can you sing? Get back.
I can carry a tune.
Can you?
I did musical theater, but I was more of an actor.
Do your Tom DeLonge singing impression.
Oh, see, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. We don't need to do that today, though.
We can do it tomorrow.
You can do it whenever you want. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's your show is as much as anybody. You want to break out into song,
but it's awfully hot in your studio, so that might make you a little bit more.
Is it still hot in there?
Burning up. Dude,
I'm staying out of there. I don't want
to. You go in there, it's at least, 275 on your oven.
It's nuts, dude. Yeah. No Sterling way. Said it, Sterling said it was fixed.
Yeah.
Oh, sure it was, yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's fixed, yeah.
I've been pounded this week.
This monitor hasn't worked in years.
Well, also, if you go in there, it sounds like there's a rat clawing on the ceiling in Mac's studio. We were in there talking. I go, what is that?
Oh, there probably is.
That's what I said. There's a mouse or something up there, dude.
Man, they got chased out of the pothole, so now they're on the roof.
Carter Jensen's up there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, the swimming pools have run dry.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so the rats don't know where to go. They're like, and those are rats out there in the potholes in the parking lot. They come up in the morning and they look at you like, why are you in my bath? I'm like, I'm just trying to go to work, man. Sorry.
I don't like rodents, man.
Ugh.
Even a mouse that's so small, like I've seen one time in my life, it ran by my, dude, out the door.
You were?
Oh.
I had a bat
in my apartment on the floor.
Ooh, yeah.
You've heard this story, right?
Yes.
I thought it was hot dogs in the microwave hissing, and then I turn the microwave off. I look out on the ground. There's a brown bat beneath my feet.
Now, did you have hot dogs in the microwave?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
I was legit, like, getting ready to come up here and run a Royals game. This was the last time I had a microwave, and I put two dogs in the microwave, and I thought, you know, when you cook them too long, they make that, like,
oh, like, oh, I can show you a picture of when Jen tried to microwave a hot dog. That thing split, like, I mean.
Was it on Tuesday?
Yeah.
And so then I killed the microwave. I looked down. And there's a little brown bat between my feet. Dude, freak me out.
Did you bite the head off and eat it?
No. Oh. It's endangered. And so I ran to my landlord. I'm like, there's a bat in my apartment. And she's like, really? And I was like, yes. Call animal control now.
Right now.
And the guy came over and like looked around and finally found it. It was in like the corner. He put it in a bucket, took it out to like a wildlife area on a tree, let it go do its thing. We go, okay, now let's figure out how it got in here. Well, there was a hole where my furnace closet was. He's like, oh, it probably came right down through there. Saw it Thursday. It's on Thursday. And he goes, yeah, I can get that fixed. She's like, he goes, you're going to need to, like, you know, phone that up
you're,
or something.
You're
like that.
Renting at this point.
And, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, an apartment. Yeah. And she's horrible landlord she was. And she goes, well, I don't think I can get anybody out of here till Monday morning. I said, lady, there's an effing bat in my kitchen floor. You will seal this today or I will not pay rent next month. I came home an hour later. That sucker was
sealed. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you have to do that. Like, you can get out to somebody on Monday. Pissed, I got dude. Bats in the house.
Yeah. What are we doing?
A freaking bat, dude. They're not as harmful as you think, but like when you see one with the naked
eye. This isn't
eye,
my window stuck.
Thinking it's a hot dog and it's really just a bat, a rat
That's
with wings.
My favorite part.
Dude, thought it was dogs. Thought the Franks were ready.
Oh, no. Man, they're ready.
No, and you know what? Didn't eat, that's for sure. Came straight here to the Royals game. It's like, I don't want to eat anything.
Forget it.
Hopefully there's more than just chips and salsa left out for 12 hours with the rats that work here sometimes. Best thing to happen to the Chiefs, I think, was going 6-11. Sometimes you need to be punched in the face to realize how tough you really are. I think that is a true thing for the Chiefs here going forward next year, because we'll have Ben Maurer on in about 10 minutes. And, you know, we can ask him about the Chiefs as well. About
hope he finishes.
Yeah. That's funny. That's a deep, deep tease. But I think what we've done in the past and what we've seen in the past is how much this team relies on Patrick Mahomes to get you out of everything, right? Yep. He's like, Dad, driving the car. I don't need the map. We'll get there. Trust me. Are you sure you know where we're at, Dad? Yes. Stop asking questions. And then 10 minutes later, you're like, oh, yeah, there we are. That's the Mahomes way with the Andy Reid offense. Well, this year it broke. Patrick Mahomes, literally.
They broke him
now,
the team.
Now, that is something I think Andy Reid sees, and he has to change that because I've mentioned this before, the QB sneak and the knee in the side of the leg. Now, the knee is not on a QB sneak. It was on a QB run, and his knee was, you know, obviously needed surgery on the ACL and the LCL as well. I don't know, man. I think maybe having to do this is maybe something this team actually needed because it can't just be rainbows and butterflies every single – I mean, it'd be nice.
It'd be nice, but that's not reality. You know, it's funny because I told you I hurt this muscle in my leg, right? And that happened in January. Now it's late February. And every day I go to the gym and I think to myself, God, I don't know if I can put any pressure on this today, right? And I've always heard and we've always talked about the mental side of coming back from an injury. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time that I've dealt with something so minor. It's not a big deal. It's nothing. But I'm dealing with the mental side of it. So now I'm like really putting into perspective of what these athletes go through mm-hmm. when they're rehabbing a knee or an Achilles or something. Like, you have to be able to feel confident that you can trust that muscle again. And mm-hmm. and I don't know when that confidence never, you know, normally comes. They always say it's usually the year after you had that surgery. And so there is that to deal with. I think Patrick's wired a little bit differently, but you talk to any guys, they say it takes about 2 years to fully get that mental capacity and that ability to think that you're not going to re-injure that leg or that arm or whatever it is that you injured again. And so when I look at it, I think about myself, I'm like, damn, I got this minor little tweak and I still mentally can't get over it. I give now a lot more respect to these athletes who battle back from these catastrophic injuries and they go back out there and play because it's not the physical side. It's trusting that again. And so hopefully Patrick can get past that very, very fast. But I was just thinking yesterday, 6-11 of Mahomes getting hurt. Let's call it what it is, needed. And if we're doing one word for that, that was probably needed because I think everybody in the organization got to the point, like we all did, Patrick will just figure it out. Patrick will just figure it out. Well, the league has changed so much. It just can't be up to the quarterback anymore. You have to start to evolve and you have to start to get those weapons. And let's say Mahomes doesn't get hurt and they finish 8-9 and everybody's looking around going, oh, we're not that far away. Just a couple of bad breaks. 6-11 and Mahomes getting hurt, I think has been a big punch in the gut for this organization where now they can take that full step back and truly scrap everything. I don't want to say start over because you're never going to do that, but really look at what you are as an organization. And hearing Brett Veach say that yesterday, you know, not being in the playoffs gives us this opportunity to all sit down as a group and kind of figure out where we are. And so 6-11 and Mahomes injury, that may be the best thing that happens to this dynasty to kickstart 2.0. It's all about how you respond. Mm-hmm. And if they don't respond to that and they go another 6-11, we're having another conversation next year. But I think 6-11 and Mahomes injury, I think that could be the best thing that happened to this franchise to kind of reset them. And now we can start dynasty 2.0. Gary Myers.
No doubt about it. Coming up next, not Gary Myers, somebody that we actually like and is nice, Ben Maller. He'll join us next year on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5. The Fan.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller, as we do every Thursday here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you can catch him overnights on Fox Sports Radio, and it's all brought to you by the good folks at The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, we have finally arrived. Silly season has officially begun in the NFL. We've got rumors, innuendos, players not happy with their teams, teams not happy with their players. What do you think has been the best rumor so far, my friend?
Well, they're all great. I appreciate all of them. I'd like to spread it out. I say this every year, guys, Bob and Dusty. We get so much of it this week, and then it slows down. The combine week is awesome. It's the nugget week. We get so many nuggets. It's awesome. And I always get a kick out of the executives who say we're not going to talk about individual players after they've already talked about individual players. I always laugh at it. Like the New England Patriots GM, he was asked about Stephon Diggs. I'm not talking about Stephon Diggs. Then he did like 5 minutes on Christian Gonzalez of the Patriots. They're just like, well, what are you doing? And then like these guys, they speak in riddles, which is great. That's how we have jobs here. Like Mike Vrabel, I talked about that on the overnight show. Like he was flirting with AJ Brown, but you can't actually say you want him because he's on another team. And so you got that. The Kyler Murray story this week, I thought was pretty good, where the Cardinals GM's like, oh, yeah, we've been in regular contact. And then Kyler Murray's agent or somebody leaked, oh, no, we haven't talked in months. You know, it's just, it's great. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it. And we have more to come. We have a couple more days of this right through the weekend. So that's
good. Yeah, we got a lot to come. And I like the Derek Carr one, that he's going to come back now and play quarterback. And quite honestly, guys, I look at the options that are out there for some of these teams looking for a quarterback. Derek Carr may be your best option out there right now.
Wash your mouth out with soap and water, Bob. What are you doing? Okay, you know, even if you get Derek Carr, you know, he is like, I'm trying to think what the analogy would be. Like in the NBA, you know those guys in the NBA that put up great stats, but they're not winning players? Like there's a bunch of those. I think he will end up, Derek Carr will end up with like 250 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, and you'll lose by 10 points. That's Derek Carr, right? You know, he'll give you some good stats, but he's going to melt down. The thingamajig's not going to work in the key moment there. That's, you know, like I don't understand why that's going to change. And he had offers last year. Remember the Bengals called them before they traded for Joe Flacco. The Colts, before they brought Phillip Rivers out of the backwoods of Alabama, said, why don't you come play quarterback? He didn't want to play for those teams. Like, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? Like, the only – I was thinking about this. I did talk about it a little bit on the overnight, but the only teams you would think that maybe would be interested would be the Steelers and the Vikings, who are good because he only wants to play for a good team. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back, the Steelers need a quarterback, and the Vikings, I think they would like to send J.J. McCarthy out in Lake Minnetonka and leave him there. So, you know, they're looking for somebody too.
Ben, when you look at this offseason with all these teams, where do you rank the level of important offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, I think it's huge. They have back-to-back bad years, Dusty. Like, they're Andy. People are going to be yelling for Andy Reid. He's too old. You got to get rid of Andy. Like, hey, you're allowed one bad year. Like, the Patriots, they had one bad year, you know, and then they bounced back because Brady got hurt, and you can make the argument Mahomes got hurt, even though they were not a playoff team prior to that. But yeah, I think it's massive. They've got to get, we talked about it last week, they got to get more playmakers and, you know, just fine tune the team. And I think this is a gigantic offseason because this is the Mahomes prime, and you don't want to wait. You only get so many of those years before he starts getting hurt all the time because he's older, and you got to milk this thing. And so, yeah, don't be pinching pennies now.
Yeah. So, Ben, is it a bigger offseason, though, for New England to come back with a vengeance or for Kansas City to come back with a vengeance?
Well, I would say both, but if you put a gun to my head, I would say, or a knife to my throat, I would go for the Chiefs because the Patriots, they came out of nowhere. They were bad for several years. They can go back to being mediocre. But the Chiefs, this is the golden era, right? This is the golden run and all we've talked about. I've been on with you guys for many years now, and this is the time to do it. So I would say for Kansas City, if they have back-to-back, again, bad years, and then, you know, who knows, we'll see what happens with Travis Kelce coming up and all that. But you got to get some other options on offense. And Mahomes has got the contract, which are in pretty good shape. I know they're going to redo it, and, you know, they've already redone it a little bit and all that stuff, so to make the numbers work on the salary cap. But it really is – it's the time. I mean, otherwise, there'll be a lot of changes if the Chiefs have another stinker this year.
Yeah, you look at the NFL draft that's coming up, and obviously we've talked a little bit about it being in Pittsburgh and everything like that. kind of think that, like, the Raiders probably should just do the Mendoza thing. Is that, does that make sense? Like, they should do it. I don't know if people think they can, like, start their franchise with him. But you guys had mentioned backup quarterbacks and who you don't like. And, I mean, I know Kirk Cousins is a bridge guy, but for how long and, you know, in that sort of regard. But I feel like they should just draft Mendoza because of everything he gives you.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of the aisle, Dusty. I believe he will be drafted number one, but he's not. Fernando Mendoza, I think, is going to be mediocre. Like, the ceiling is he's like the middle of the pack type of quarterback. I don't see anything there that tells me this guy's got the skill set to be amazing. Number two, though, he will be drafted by the Raiders because of FOMO. If the Raiders don't draft him, Fernando Mendoza, and he goes to the Jets or the Cardinals and ends up becoming great, and I'm wrong and other people are wrong and he turns out to be great, they'll never hear the end of it. So it's a CYA situation, I believe. That's why he'll be drafted at the top of the draft. I did see, though, I'm sure you saw this too, Dusty, Clint Kubiak, the coach of the Raiders, refused to say for sure they're going to take Mendoza. And I think that's because the NFL, they want them to at least give the illusion that there's some suspense going into the draft, that there maybe they'll
no,
they
you won't don't take him.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, I don't know. I think that they are building their franchise in a way, or maybe they've lucked themselves out into this way where they have built their franchise kind of in a way where the quarterback doesn't have to be elite, if you know what I mean. Like, they have Brock Bowers. They have Ashton Jeanty. They've got to get an offensive line first. They've got to build that up. But then, you know, you put those type of pieces around somebody who maybe is an average talent with a good head on their shoulders and experience. I mean, we forget that Mendoza's still like 20, almost like 23 years old, I think, or 20, almost 24 years old. So it's similar to like the Bo Nix situation. So if I told you, and you're the Raiders owner, and I said, hey, you can have Bo Nix for the next 6 years, you'd sign up today, wouldn't you?
I'm not a big Bo Nix fan either. I'm not.
Playoff quarterback, though.
The Broncos, they had some issues in their passing game, though. I mean, he's fine. I don't think he's great. Like, the Mendoza thing, I use the word FOMO. Like, you look at this draft, there's a chance this is only one. There's a one quarterback draft in the first round, right? I mean, I'm starting to look, don't tell anybody, but I've started to look at the mock drafts. Ooh. I'm embarrassed by that, but I have. And it looks like there's one guy, and maybe, I know they're trying to upsell Ty Simpson from Alabama. They're trying to, you know, pump his tires and say that he's a first round pick. But other than that, and he's a fringe first round pick, like, it's only Fernando Mendoza. And it's like, and there's a bunch of linebackers and wide receivers and defensive backs and all these other positions. So it's really only like one guy that's even being considered right now.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, really, for a draft, you know, that everybody's not swooning over quarterbacks. But I guess it just goes to show you maybe the league is getting a little bit smarter. We're just not going to draft quarterbacks just for the sake of drafting quarterbacks. So with all that and all the offseason stuff with the teams, who's got a bigger offseason ahead of them, the teams or NBC now to rebuild their Football Night in America? Because that show sucked, and now they got rid of at least Tony Dungy off of that thing. For the premier show of the NFL, they need to do better than what they've been rolling out there.
Yeah, it's like plain oatmeal with nothing on top, no cinnamon, nothing, just plain oatmeal, and you're like, what are we doing here? And I actually give Dungy credit. I've ripped him a lot because he's really bad at broadcasting, but he kept the job for a long time, and I think that's impressive considering that he's not good at it. They're gonna bring in a new crop of NFL players and whatnot. Now, you know, if they do blow the entire show up, does Travis Kelce retire and go be the star at NBC on their, you know, you can go down that rabbit hole. You know, they're going to need a big name. That's the biggest window of the NFL weekend, the Sunday night. That's where they put all the great games. So they're going to spend some money on it. But yeah, I mean, Dungy, you know, you guys occasionally have to be entertaining. I mean, a little bit. I mean, so good luck. But yeah, they'll find a bunch of former coaches and athletes, and they'll throw them on TV, and it'll, I guess they're going to go on site, I read. So good luck on that. But they should hire us. The three of us can be on the panel. Why not? We're available. We can work a little overtime on the weekends. Take the check. Come on now.
Oh, I'd kill that show. I mean, you just put me on the field so you guys could keep your warm asses in the studio, and I'd be the guy in like the parka or like the, you know, the trench coat down on the field interviewing everybody.
Would you be in the Jock Collinsworth role? Would that be
Ben? If you ever compare me to Jack Collinsworth again in our life, I'm never doing another interview with you again. So no, I will not. I'm kidding.
I want to be the guy that's like the weather guy that just points at stuff and everyone likes him. Yeah,
you can be Kornacki.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be that guy.
But everything you're saying is false.
And people love him because he's pointing at the board and he's really a cartoon character.
Hey, what's your level of interest for the World Baseball Classic?
Scale of 1 to 10, Dusty, my level of interest, I'm at a 5.
Okay.
I'm at a 5. I'll watch it, and obviously we need stuff to talk about. My problem is I know the history of it, and I remember when they started it years ago, and because they got bumped from the Olympics and all. But I will give baseball credit. It has become a bigger deal. I remember the first few times they did it, we all rolled our eyes and said, oh, my God, what a disaster. This is so stupid. But now it's got a little mojo to it. So it has gotten better. And obviously you want to see the USA team win. And then you want to see who gets hurt and out the All-Star break. And, you know.
Some sort of random baseball injury, because you know that's going to happen. But look, for me, the World Baseball Classic, I was kind of with you when it first started. I was like, eh. But the last time we had it with Japan versus the United States, hopefully the players embrace it like the hockey guys embrace playing in the Olympics, because that was a great moment for everybody. And if the players embrace it the way that the hockey players embrace the Olympics, I think then we'll embrace the World Baseball Classic better. But if baseball makes all the baseball excuses for it and all that nonsense that they always do, then it's harder to embrace. I've got to have the embracement by the players, and I think we're seeing more of that now.
Yeah, the comments, if you take them at face value, but they have been very positive. Like, guys are excited about it, and that's the thing too, that for me, when I covered spring training, I thought that was the great, if you were a baseball player, you showed up early, you got your work in, you left in the second inning, you were golfing or doing whatever, if you're in Florida, go to the beach. And these guys, they can't wait to get out of spring training because they get to go play in the World Baseball Classic, which I know it's in Miami for the U.S. guys and all that, but that's awesome. I thought that's a great life in spring training, but they seem to really enjoy the fact they don't have to go to spring training, normal spring training in Arizona and Florida, and go to play in the World Baseball Classic and all that. So, like, they've been, that part of it they like. And, hey, I'm there. I'll watch it. I hope maybe I'll go up to a 6. I could go up to a 6. I can't go higher than a 6. I could go up to a 6.
Flirt with us like that. I don't want you to get diving into the World Baseball Classic. You're the mock draft. I mean, I want to know picks 18 to 32 next Thursday.
Oh, I don't watch past pick 10. I only care about the top 10. But I do read the
recording stopped.
And that's it with Ben Maller. It is over. After pick 10, we just don't know what's going to happen.
We don't even know what he likes to read. It was over.
And scene. Yeah, Ben Maller.
His screen froze.
Yeah. Which was fantastic. But yeah. As long as, hey, we're going to bed after pick 9 this year. You know, that's the good news about, you know, the Chiefs picking where they are. We ain't got to wait around till 32 on draft
day. It'll still take an hour to get to us, but yeah.
Oh, an hour?
You're right. 10 minutes a pick. Yeah, you're right. 90 minutes.
Yeah, like I was going to say probably two. Ooh. Yeah. You know, it takes, you know,
when we get closer,
time.
We'll have to set the over-under around 90 minutes or so and see.
Yeah, well,
see what people feel.
Exactly, because I think it's going to be a lot longer than that. But that's just me. I mean, who knows how fast the picks go. And they moved them to 10 minutes now in the first round, or they condensed them to 7 minutes now in the first round? Because I thought they condensed it again in the first round to move this thing along.
Hope they did.
I think it's 7 minutes.
I think you're right. I think it is 7 minutes now in the first round. I think it goes 7, and then everything else after that is 5, maybe. I could be wrong. Because I think for early days, like 15 minutes between picks. It was ridiculously long.
So, 8 minutes.
8 minutes now is the
this
first
is the
round.
First year. Yep, they're doing it. Yep, 8
did,
minutes.
Did you see this? Because this is kind of in your neck of the woods. The St. John's game last night.
No, they got mollywhopped by like 40. It was the worst loss ever for Patino.
Did you see why?
Well, they couldn't hit a shot, I would assume.
So this is the stat at the end of the game. They went the final 17 minutes and 28 seconds without a made shot.
College basketball never better, John Rothstein, huh? I mean, that is your never been better moment right there. College basketball in a nutshell. 17 minutes and 28 seconds without hitting a shot.
Did I stutter?
Yeah, I thought maybe you did because it was so ridiculously ridiculous.
Of you last night when I saw it. Immediately thought of you.
Why?
Well, because this is college basketball.
I'm being facetious. No, but that goes back to Rothstein telling us this is the college basketball's never been better. We're like, oh my God, what sport are you watching? 17 minutes and 28 seconds.
You know how many minutes they played a half?
20.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they went basically the entire second half without making a shot. That's hard to do.
Go, Mac.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise. No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin. Talking about things that made me think of Bob. How about this one? Tony Dungy seemingly out at NBC Sports. One word.
Good. Because he sucks. And it's time. That whole show sucked on NBC. I'm not sure if there was anybody on that show that I thought was really good.
All those shows suck to me, but yeah.
Yeah, because what is that? That's Jason Garrett.
Yeah. Florio, Sims.
Sims is okay at times.
Maria Sims is oh yeah, you're right, at times. Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes I'm like, what?
Jack Collinsworth, who absolutely has no business being on national television.
Jock,
yeah.
Jock. Called him Jock Collinsworth. He goes, Dusty, do you want to be Jock Collinsworth? Ben, come on. We've got a bit on this show about that.
But I think that whole thing needs to be revamped. I didn't think there was anybody good on Football Night in America. And I used to really like that show. Tony Dungy, you know, being the first guy to depart that show is a good thing. He was very unentertaining.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even admit who he voted for. Got crotchety. Complained about Taylor Swift. That's why I stopped liking Tony Dungy. I need you in my living room telling me not to watch Taylor Swift.
Rodney Harrison, he was decent or no?
Yeah, like I like some of these guys
individually. I think
individually.
The keyword was.
Yeah.
I like these guys individually. I just don't like these show formats. I don't know how anyone could be good. But yeah, Tony Dungy does suck. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, but now you got, is Tomlin going to move over there to NBC? Are the Kelce brothers going to move to NBC? Like, I was just reading something this morning. I think it was from Andrew Marchand on X, formerly Twitter. And he goes, this is going to be the best, like, broadcast free agency that we've seen in 4 years. Because, like, everybody's contracts are up. So there may be a lot of musical chairs that go around between all the networks. And now with YouTube potentially buying a 5-game package as well, you know, there could be more guys getting jobs doing those things.
Yeah, my one word is onward. We're moving on. And I don't care because I don't watch these shows. Like you said, I'm not a huge fan of these. There's one that I like, and it's used to be on TNT. And then ESPN
and then ESPN
it,
ruined, it. Ruined it.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, yeah, good. Major networks don't know what they're doing. They just want to pay people to do something. We gave you a lot of money.
You're a name. Go out there and do something.
Yeah. Right. I just don't know who they're for. Yeah, not
I
for me.
I don't watch the
not
pregame shows at all. But like the NBC one was always different for me because I'm so caught up in the Chiefs that when the games were over, that was a good recap of the day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and when the Chiefs were winning, there was a lot of conversation about the Chiefs that you could use as topics. And, you know, they were the star of the NFL world. And so I used to watch that to try to catch up. Or if you're at the game Sunday night, the pregame show kind of allows you to catch up on everything you missed while you're at your game that day. So I always watched that one. I always wanted it to be what Berman and Tom Jackson were on ESPN. And nothing will ever be that.
Less is more is what I would say on that.
Pat McAfee, no less here. $150,000 was the tab that the U.S. men's hockey team put up in a club in Miami. Pat McAfee paid for the whole thing. One word.
Stud. That's awesome, man. Hat off to Pat McAfee. The more that he does like that, the more I love him, and the more it makes people squirm, and that makes me love him even more. I like guys like Pat McAfee who are kind of a cog in everything that everybody's trying to do. He showed you can do it differently. And paying for that tab, that's a pretty cool thing for him to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's genuine. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure not everybody's a huge fan of his because of everybody has an opinion. Doesn't matter what you think or do what you want to do. But that's cool. I mean, you know, Hosmer and those guys did it in the World Series or in the AL, what was it, the AL wild card game. They went to hang out at McFadden's and just said, everybody go to McFadden's, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. I love when those things happen, so... Yeah, respect.
This comes from Eric Pincus, a NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Oh, increasing buzz that LeBron James could retire and pivot into ownership as the face of Las Vegas expansion team.
Oh, good.
With Rich Paul potentially selling
what about
Clutch
poor
Sports
Paul?
To help finance the bid. That part so is what's crazier to me. But one word there.
Narcissist? I mean, did anybody think LeBron was just going to retire and still not be a major face of this league?
Timeout. He's going to make his best friend sell his company give him money to buy the franchise in Vegas. Is that what I heard?
I would imagine Rich Paul would also be a part owner.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think.
If you're Rich Paul, what do you do?
Rich Paul does what he wants. So if he wants to sell, he'll sell. He's not doing what LeBron tells him.
What I would do? Not own a team. I'd be like, Josh used to always say, I don't want to own the team. I just want to be rich enough to buy the tickets to the games that I want to go to. And that's where you are with Rich Paul, because when you own a team, A, it costs a lot of money. I mean, it's probably going to be a couple of $1 billion to buy the new NBA expansion teams, and you don't make any money until you sell the thing. So just be rich and buy the tickets that you want to the games that you want.
One word on LeBron James. Richard. Stale. But hey, I like when recent retired athletes get right into the sport. I like that Matt Ryan is with the Falcons. I love that. So I'm not mad about it. I just think it's a new LeBron chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're entering it slowly. I don't think he's going to retire next season. I would be surprised.
No, he's going to get an absolute 1,000% a send-off tour.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people that don't think that he's going to do that, it's...
And the league is probably planning it.
And I'll say it, he should.
He should.
LeBron hater, right here, hand up high, he should get that.
Absolutely.
And you'll know you'll get to see him.
Exactly, and you should enjoy it as a Kobe hater.
You think he'll play in all the visiting...
Doesn't have to, just go out there and acknowledge.
Yeah, acknowledge, yes. Paul Skeens talked about the World Baseball Classic.
Seeing what the men's hockey team did, does that kind of get you even more motivated, like even more excited to be in this type of situation?
Yeah, men's hockey, women's hockey, all the other, you know, golds that we won in the Olympics. We're America, we got to assert our dominance over everybody else. That's what we do. So it's gonna be fun. You know, when I say wins, it's what we do. So gotta keep it going.
It's been a little over a decade.
2026, we still have not figured out locker room audio, but there is Paul Skeens speaking on the World Baseball Classic. It's what we do as Americans. We got to win.
Yeah, absolutely. My one word is America, because he's exactly right about that. Let's go take the World Baseball Classic. I want to get into something a little bit later on that I think can make the World Baseball Classic maybe better than what they're offering up right now. But yeah, go with that mentality and let's go. Go win the whole effing thing, as they say.
I know, that's hilarious to me. Bob Wash won it bad in the World Baseball Classic. Going to start it for the first time and already knows how to make it better.
Yeah, I do. Did you get more interest in it? Absolutely. Yeah.
Paul Skeens, leader, right? What a guy. Coming after the Tarek Skubal news of like, I'll pitch against Great Britain and then I'll see if I can convince my boss to let me come hang out with the fellas for the gold game. No, man. Let me talk to you. Be Paul Skeens. Pitch twice. You're fine. You're in your youth. You can become an icon.
You're going to become more of an icon on the WBC stage, Tarek, than you are pitching for the Tigers.
Until he's in New York. Mm. For the Mets or the Yankees. I don't know which one he's going to be at. So whoever doesn't get Paul Skeens. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be awesome.
Call out my patriotism. I'm going to see you in the Bronx, man.
Yeah. Then how about this? Jason Tatum playing 5-on-5 full scrimmages right now, 9 months post Achilles surgery.
Yeah, stud is the one word. That's crazy to me.
Nuts.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's the difference between me trying to deal with a sore muscle in my leg versus that guy dealing with a torn Achilles, because I would be scared to death to go out there.
Me too.
I mean, again, I'm having those things now on such a smaller scale from getting, you know, a sore muscle. I just can't imagine now. And I'm living it to a very small extent. But now I get it more than I ever have before. When you get hurt, the mental side is everything to coming back. And the fact that he can do that, it's a tough guy, man. Tough mentally to be able to come back 9 months after tearing that Achilles.
Hard is my one word. I know that I'm hard. We're getting close to NBA playoffs. You're going to throw this guy back in the league, a top five player in the league now?
Excited.
I don't know if he's top five. Top two. Top seven.
I would say,
five.
I'd say he's five when he's healthy.
Right there. I would take him over Ant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say, I thought I might get roasted for that one.
No, you would on Twitter because they just pay attention to quotes and stuff, and Tatum's not as entertaining. But
they just love dunks, too.
They love dunks, and he makes quotes. Yeah, Tatum's, he's under the radar.
I take Jaylen Brown over Ant.
That's a little hotter, but okay. I love your thoughts. The Celtics bias will agree with you, but probably wrong.
I take Brad Stevens over Brett. I'm kidding. I would keep Brett Veach here as long as I possibly could. Oh, man. We'll get into some Celtic talk tomorrow if you want. Coming up next, we'll get into Smasher Pass here on 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's Best Steaks, now with two locations, 95th and All and 135th and Metcalf and Shawnee Mission Ford, on a mission to do more online at ShawneeMissionFord.com. Smash passes next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Smash.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
Out of anybody should talk, he should never grab a microphone.
And Dusty Likens.
His ass is foul of all foul.
Weekdays 6 to 10. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5, The Fan.
Dude.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass, and I'm homebound.
You remember the video?
Oh, baby. I'm watching it right now.
This is 24 years ago?
Yeah.
What were you, three?
Yeah, 2002, yeah, I was four.
I was 14, and I had this album. 100%. Vanessa Carlton, man. Yeah,
but did she do anything else
but
this?
I feel like it was,
yeah.
This is her biggest hit, but this is the problem that we have with music as I get into my nerdisms with music, is when you have a multi-platinum billion song. You're not every other song is going to get debunked.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a great point. Yeah, I didn't even think of it that way. Like you have such a hit.
And then when a movie, your song is so big that it literally makes a movie called White Chicks and Terry Crews does it. Like, that's the other part. So then it's now it's gotten so big on two different platforms, and everyone's like, well, did she do anything else? She didn't, A, have to, and yes, she sang a song called White Houses, which is insanely good.
Oh, I know that song, Little White Houses for You and Me. Cougar Mellencamp covered that.
I really hate you sometimes when you do this to people that I enjoy their art, and because it's not John Cougar Mellencamp. Kiss it's not an 80s artist who sucks. It's Vanessa Carlton. It's a great, beautiful song. It's called White Houses.
Little White Houses for You and Me. I wish I knew more of her songs. I do. Yeah. Because
you get them confused with John Cougar.
Natalie Imbruglia back in the day was always one that I was in love with as an artist, and as she was beautiful.
She's Australian, too.
I know. But did she have anything but Torn? I mean, I don't think she did. I mean, I don't recall. I had her album, but.
No, there's always those one hit wonders in that time frame. The Gin Blossoms. You have.
You think the Gin Blossoms are a one hit wonder?
I mean, kind of. I mean, I don't know any other song. The one that I know, Chumbawamba.
Yeah, though, that's a definite one hit wonder.
The Outfield.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Don't start me on that. Like, I hate that song.
Why?
It's Put a me banger. In Coach. Oh, not that one.
No, this is Josie's on a Vacation.
Josie's on a Vacation. My bad. Yeah. I was thinking of the stupid baseball song that every place plays. Sounds a lot like the other one.
First time can hardly explain Russia blood. You don't need to keep going.
I can get into this.
Yeah,
I can get into this.
Ugh. That's such a 90s vibe.
Very angsty. I like it.
She's awesome, dude. Smasher Pass. So, we're going to keep doing this until you guys nail it the first time someone calls onto the phone to Mac Morey. So here's the deal. You want to be caller number 5. Mm. You want to say, Mac, I think you're doing a really good job being a really good dude.
Mac's awesome.
And then you got to say exactly what his Max Minute was about that you can find on the Fan 965 on Instagram. It's called Max Minute. You have to say, Mac, I think you're awesome in what you do. And your Max Minute on blank was very informative. Yes. So you have to
Came out yesterday.
And
there you go.
You have to do it. And you got to hear this sound. There's that one boomer we piss off with that sound every time. So Smash or Pass, right? Here we are. Brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's Best Steaks. Now with two locations, 135th at Metcalf and 95th at Knoll, plus Shawnee Mission Ford on a mission to do more online at ShawneeMissionFord.com. So we start off, right? Here we are. Not a chance. Empty all liquids here is what this sign says.
There's zero chance.
$100,000. But there is what they call airport jungle juice. Mm-hmm. So before you get on your flight and go to your destination, where that is home or vacation, you pour all your liquid out. Booze, coffee, tea, water, energy, Alani, Red Bull, whatever.
Sodas, whatever. Before you go through, they all have that thing where you dump your stuff because you can't take liquids.
Basically, might get confused and dump out the wrong Mountain Dew bottle and there's juice everywhere. So I asked.
Juice all over the place.
$100,000.
Cash, tax-free?
Yes. In a briefcase.
Okay.
To go wherever you're going, home or on your vacation, $100,000. 16-ounce glass.
16 now. I thought you were going to say six.
I thought you were going to say a sip. Easy. I would do it for a sip.
That's a 16-ounce. That's a pint.
Yeah, no chance.
100,000 cash.
No.
And okay.
No, I just don't think I can.
And you've got 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think.
5 minutes?
Well, I mean, I would hold my nose and just slam it and close my eyes.
You better believe it and then go, honey, we got 100K. Let's go.
Yeah.
Easily you're doing that.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah, come on.
I'm doing it.
Well, what's worse, the jungle juice at the airport right there, right, that they have where everybody's, or the stuff at the end of the bar, you know, where they're dumping the mat in and the rag
into the night courage.
Yeah.
I got to say that's worse.
At least that one you only have to do a shot of. And it's just juice and beer. It's not like it's like anything else. No one's like.
But isn't it the floor mat or
no,
is it?
No, the bar mat. That's the one that everybody gets the.
Oh, you thought it was the floor mat?
Well, like the. The rubbery floor mat that bartenders have.
No. Okay.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about where they put the drinks up on the to get sold.
Yeah, no, are you talking about on the bar or on the floor?
On the floor.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
So bar
drinks are getting spilled and stuff. Okay.
All it is like the Long Islands that you're slop dogging.
Oh yeah.
The whatever, and then beer, and then you just take it and you just into a shot glass. Somebody always will do it every night for like $20. You're like,
yeah, I might do that.
Yeah, of course, dude.
$20 for that. Huh?
At the end of the night, poor ass college student working at a bar, and you're like, drunk. Hey, we're all going to Sharky's after this. Sounds great. I only have that money. Do that shot, and I'll buy your first three drinks. Sweet.
I'm there.
I'll do a tequila shot, and I will do a beer. I don't need any more drinks for the rest of the night. Thanks, Bobby. Yeah, man, $100,000 for a 16 ounce of all liquids from the airport.
If you. $150.
Somebody says could be milk from the kids too in there.
What about milk from mom that she put in the bottle? Well, I think you can take formula.
You talking about like a little nipple juice?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think you can take formula and milk in as a baby. I'm trying to think back. I think they allowed you to take that. Yeah.
It's the dumb Wednesday sounder that pisses everybody off. Nope, just you. Welcome back.
It's also Thursday.
Yeah.
He's talking about apparently.
Oh, he's talking about the.
Apparently.
He's talking about the.
Our poll
happy
sounder.
Happy Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah, that one's also just you.
Yeah, we love it.
So, Smasher Pass. So, I'm seeing these on. I need to know if these are real because I haven't seen them in the wild. Marshmallow Reese's peanut butter cups. Mm.
I need more. Like, where's the marshmallow?
Bottom layer. Peanut butter, cup top.
Out.
Okay.
Just.
Because you know how the Oreo one was?
Yeah.
Marshmallow fluff.
Yeah, I just I'm out on
that. Don't you like fluff and peanut butter?
I do, but I don't. I've been reading a lot about the Reese's family is pissed at the Hershey's family right now because
peanut butter and chocolate.
No, because they're like not making the Reese's peanut butter cup the way the Reese's family wanted it made and had it made, and so they're fighting with Hershey right now. Like it's some big scandal going on. My wife is updating me every day on the Hershey Reese's scandal, right? And so I don't think I would like that. I don't know. Yeah. Too sticky, too just like we've got a perfect item in the Reese's peanut butter cup. Why do we keep messing with it?
Have you had the one with caramel in it?
No.
Oh my God.
I tried the one with pretzels, disappointed.
Yeah, sweet and salty. You smashing the marshmallow?
I'm definitely. Because
I went to Hy-Vee yesterday, guys. I went all up and down the aisles. I was like, this is for smash. Nowhere to be found. So then I found another picture. They have Twix. With marshmallow in the bottom.
Yeah, I'll pass on that too. Yeah.
That's a little cleaner, right?
It is a little cleaner. You're right. But yeah.
Because you can almost like Virginia Slim those where you open the corner and you do the light pack and it pops out.
Pops up, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds better to me.
The Twix
crunch. Yeah, crunch with the Twix and the mellow. Yeah.
It sounds better than the peanut butter cup, but eh.
random sports smasher pass, wide receiver with pick 9.
Sure.
Smash?
Yeah.
I'll smash.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just go in position. Yeah. You're going to need one.
Yeah.
We don't have any.
Okay.
No, we don't have any.
Smasher pass, Jeremiah Love over getting Travis Etienne.
No, I'll pass that one.
I've been growing on Jeremiah the last week because it's becoming more of a possibility, so I'm getting myself prepared, but I will pass on that. Okay. I will pass.
I was watching Guy Fieri last night. So you know his big kryptonite, right?
Eggs.
Just in general, kryptonite as
doesn't
in,
eat
like,
eggs.
If okay. it's like if he that. Goes and gets ramen, they'll leave the hard-boiled egg out.
Oh,
so I saw this place the other night, and they were making a pizza. And I don't know what the toppings were. It wasn't like pepperoni. It was like a, I want to say it was almost like a Neapolitan. And they put an over-easy egg in the middle and then went to cut it. And he's like, don't break the egg, don't break. And they broke the egg. And he's like, oh, gosh. And you can tell he wouldn't eat it. Would you eat a pizza with an over-easy egg on them in like the middle of it? It's like a thing, I guess.
I've never heard of that.
It's like I don't know what, like what culture it comes from, but apparently it's a thing.
I would probably Italian, like a, I would yeah. say. But I would... Yeah, I would try it. I think, yeah, I think I would.
It's my favorite kind of egg, and I love pizza. Yeah, I'm in.
Okay. Okay.
Not you?
I just feel like the middle of the pizza is going to be like sog.
But hang on. Did they cook the pizza and then cook the egg separately and put it on top?
No, no, no. So like basically they basically cooked the pizza, and then he pulled it out of the brick oven and then took the egg and put it on top and then put it back in that oven.
Okay, so
like,
they did cook the pizza though before.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they brought the pizza back out like in 30 seconds. Yeah, it's like a 700-degree oven. And I'm like, that's my egg as well. Like, and that bleeds into my hash browns at Waffle House and everything just becomes a soup.
Smash.
Then I'm into it. But like on a pizza, then I'm just dipping my crust in the middle. But then that middle of the pizza, because at Grinders, they have a pepperoni pizza with chili cheese tots in the middle of the pizza.
Yeah, that's much. That's a bit much.
Julio
yeah.
Sanchez did it one night and then came and did after hours with me as producer. He's like, dude, I'm not going to be proactive tonight because I'm in the bathroom. And I was like, all right, you
Fair
put
enough.
Chili cheese tots on your pizza. That's what's going to happen.
I mean, the egg is like,
it's interesting.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it'll be a pizza and they'll put like arugula on it and they'll put the egg right in the middle.
Never saw a pizza with an egg on it before.
That's it. Caller number 5. Got to tell Mac that he's great. You got to tell him exactly that you liked his Max Minute on blank. And you've got a chance at a $50 Booth Creek Wagyu gift card. And that is Smash Pass brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's Best Steaks. With now with 2 locations, 95th and Nolan, 135th and Metcalf. Also Shawnee Mission Ford. On a mission to do more online at ShawneeMissionForward.com. Coming up next, it's ESPN's own Nate Taylor. He'll join us here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.